Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We'll have to try that again later. We are happy to be gathered together on this Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day is a remembrance of his resurrection because he came back from the dead on the first day of the week. And yet we set aside one of those Sundays in particular every year to remember in a special way his resurrection. And we do so again today. And my wife is especially happy today. Some of you have been praying for her brother, and we just got news, she just got a few minutes ago, that he will be having a heart today. So we're happy about that, a great day for receiving a new heart. Well, we read this call to worship from the Word of God. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hymn number 198.
Thank you.
Great and glorious God, we come to give you great praise on this Lord's Day. You are worthy to receive our worship, our adoration, because you alone are God. You created all things, and you are eternal. And your power was displayed in that creation, and it continues to be displayed. Your provisions for life on this earth, and yet such great power displayed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You brought him back to life, and we give you praise today for that. And we would ask for hearts that would be full of wonder, amazement, awe, and above all thanks, because Jesus died for us and rose again that we might be saved. And we pray that our hearts will be full of great praise, great gratitude, and that you would receive it today through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We read the Word of God from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. This is the great chapter in the New Testament about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and about our resurrection to come. But we will read verses 1 through 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hear God's word. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. You have believed the gospel and been saved by this risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing it of him once more. Christ, our hope, 120.
Thank you.
together to our great God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we come this morning to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, we're thankful for so many things. We're thankful that we can actually be here this morning, that we are well enough to come to church. We are breathing. We have life. We thank you for that. We thank you too for your presence with us day by day, and the way you answer prayers and where you provide for our needs. We thank you that on this particular Lord's Day, the sun is shining and everything is beautiful. This is your doing, and we give you thanks. Most of all, we thank you today that our Lord Jesus Christ is a living Savior. And you can save all who come to him, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. We thank you and pray that you might help us to set our hearts and our minds upon him this morning, and that in so doing we would be blessed and greatly encouraged to know that he is alive forevermore. And because he lives, we will live also. We pray for your help to worship and adore. We pray for your help to believe. We pray for your help to trust you. Life has its emergencies and its crises and its difficulties. Through all of these, may we trust you, because knowing that you brought our Lord Jesus from the dead, knowing that you will raise us with him, we know that you can handle in our lives every emergency and every crisis, and you do all things well. Give us such faith this day, we pray, and great love for our Savior who died for us, took our sins upon himself and suffered the hell that we deserve, that we might be free. We thank you too that we are together in this place, and we thank you for the fellowship of your people. We thank you for the love we have one for another. We pray for any this morning who may be here without the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would use your word in their hearts this day to bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for those not with us today. There are some who are not here, perhaps because they're simply neglecting their souls and doing other things on this holy day. We pray that you will remind them of what's most important. We also pray for those who may be sick and discouraged, that you might give to them health, body, and soul. We pray for those not saved, that are not here because they have no understanding of the importance of their souls and of eternal destinies. We pray for them all throughout this village of Hicksville, that there would be many today who would think of Jesus and come to him. All across this nation, as the gospel is preached and as people all over the world remember that he who came to die for us, to save us, lives forever. And we pray that these truths will bring many to Christ. We think this morning of Frank as he is in the hospital in Wisconsin and due to receive a new heart today. We pray that that will go well, that you would bless all concerned. And we thank you for your goodness to us and your mercies in so many ways. And so here we are to worship and adore you, the living God, and your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray. Encourage us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 199. Welcome. Happy morning. 199. together in the Word of God, the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin reading at verse 57 and read all the way through to chapter 28 and verse 15. A rather long passage. So much in it that we want to consider this morning, and we're beginning the reading with the Saturday, actually the Friday evening before the Sunday, the Friday evening after he was crucified through to the morning of his resurrection. So hear God's word from Matthew 27 and verse 57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. May God grant us understanding and encouragement in his word this morning. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we need your help as we come to your word that we might understand it, and that the truth of it might grip our hearts, and that we all today might renew our faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, our living Savior. Draw every heart to him this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to write a book about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I would entitle it Two Earthquakes, an Angel, and an Empty Tomb. The subtitle would be, What Does It Take for Some People to Believe? Two Earthquakes, an Angel, and an Empty Tomb. Now, the gospel facts are that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. So, if you believe in Jesus, all your sins have been pardoned, and you have eternal life. Now, the resurrection of Jesus is so crucial to all of this. If he had not risen from the dead, then he could not save anyone. He couldn't save you. But he did rise, and he does save. Now, in order to be saved, you must believe in him, and also believe that he rose from the dead. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But how can we be sure that he rose? How do we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And that's the subject of our passage this morning. Now, just in case you don't know what it is we're trying to relate to you, it's this. Jesus Christ really was dead. He was as dead men get. And he was so dead that they put him in a tomb. And his body laid in that tomb for 3 days. But on the third day, as the body lay stretched out in that tomb, he opened his eyes. And he removed the napkin on his head, and he just walked out of his grave clothes and sat up and walked out the open tomb, because the angel hadn't rolled away the stone for him to get out. He walked out alive. That's what we're saying. Jesus Christ was dead, and Jesus Christ was alive. Now, how do we know he came from the dead? Well, let me say this to you this morning. There are many things that we're not sure about at all. Many things we do not understand. You do not always understand God's will for your life. You don't always understand God's ways in this world. You don't always understand why God allows certain hardships and trials to come to us. You don't always understand why God doesn't answer all your prayers. You don't always understand what his promises mean, because they don't always seem like they're being fulfilled in our lives. Many questions. Many hard questions. We don't have the answers to all of them. But, listen, we do know Christ died for our sins. Christ rose from the dead. Our sins are pardoned. We have eternal life. So Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How do we know? Well, what is the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus? And again, the title of my book, Two earthquakes, an angel, an empty tomb. That's what we find in our passage this morning. But we're going to look at this evidence in perspective of two different groups of people. Or rather, we're going to look at the evidence from two different perspectives. First, from the perspective of those who saw the evidence but refused to believe. And secondly, from the perspective of those who saw the evidence and did believe. And even today, there are those two types of people. Maybe even in this sanctuary this morning, there are these two types of people. Those who have seen the evidence and yet refuse to believe, and those who have seen the evidence and do believe. Which group are you in this morning? You see, the evidence is there, but not everyone chooses to believe it. So first, some people refuse to believe, even in spite of the evidence. So what's the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, first consider the earthquake. And look at verse 2 of chapter 28, where it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake." Now this is in the context of the guards having been at that tomb all night long. They were there to make sure no one tampered with the grave. They were there to guard that tomb. They had given permission to be there from Pilate, the governor himself. And there they were, guarding the tomb. They wouldn't dare go to sleep, because that would be very dangerous to their careers and perhaps even their lives. They were charged with the responsibility of guarding that tomb. Make sure his disciples don't come and steal the body. What a ridiculous assumption that was. There they were then, this group of guards at the tomb. And there was an earthquake, a great earthquake. And the guards witnessed the earthquake. They experienced it. They felt it. But yet they did not believe. Now, 3 days earlier, on the Friday afternoon when Jesus was crucified, there had been an earthquake. The earthquake on that Sunday morning was the second Friday afternoon after Jesus died. There was an earthquake. The centurion in charge of the crucifixion felt that earthquake, and he believed even before the resurrection of Jesus. Look back there at verse 54 in the previous chapter. Verse 54 says, "When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" So there was the centurion on Friday afternoon, felt an earthquake, and believed that Jesus was the Son of God. There were those guards at the tomb on the resurrection morning. They felt an earthquake, but they didn't believe. Well, that centurion on that Friday afternoon, what else did he see and experience? Look at verse 45. In chapter 27. "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land." Darkness at noontime. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" The darkness, the cry of Jesus. Then verse 50, "Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" So the centurion and those with him believed the earthquake had a lot to do with that. But when the earth quaked again that Sunday morning, the guards who were at the tomb did not believe. What else happened on that Sunday morning? There was an angel. Look again at chapter 28 and verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You see, the angel was even more awesome than the earthquake. You see, earthquakes may be dismissed as natural phenomena. Earthquakes happen, but an angel, the supernatural appearance of a heavenly being, this was different. This angel descended from heaven, and the guards watched him as he came down. The angel touched down on the earth nearby where they were standing, and the guards watched the angel touch the earth. The angel went to the tomb, and he put his hands on the great stone and rolled it away. And the guards watched him do that. The angel's face was like lightning. He was no mere man, you see. They saw his face like lightning. And his clothing was white like snow. And they saw it. And we read in verse 4 that the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Yes, they saw the angel. And they were so afraid that they shook, every one of them, shaking at the appearance of this angel. But they did not believe. Now, some people come to faith in Jesus because of fear. We talk about foxhole conversions or deathbed conversions. People afraid to die, and they come to faith in Jesus. People afraid of hell, they come to Jesus to save them. Now, look again at that centurion back on the Friday afternoon. Verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. In the centurion's case, his fear of the supernatural events that were taking place around him caused him to cry out in faith, this is the Son of God. But similar events on the Sunday morning, the earthquake, the angel, supernatural events. The guards feared, but they did not believe. What else was there? There was the empty tomb. Now, look again at verse 2 where it says, the angel descended from heaven. He came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I think there might be a little touch of humor here. Here was this angel from heaven. His face like lightning. A supernatural being. These guards had never seen an angel before. The power of God upon him. He rolls the stone away. What does he do? He sits on the stone. He just sits down. Do angels need to sit? No, but he sat down. I think there was a touch of humor there, this great angelic being sitting on a stone. But I think that sitting, that position, was a message to the guards, as well as the women who were there. The angel was saying to these guards, who were afraid and shaking, he sits on the stone and he says to them, in effect, look, I'm seated. I will not hurt you. Go on into the tomb. It's empty. See it. So they were at first afraid of him, but he sits down and removes their fears. I'm seated, I won't hurt you. Go in and look. The tomb is empty. You see, the angel had rolled away the stone not to let Jesus walk out. He's already gone. But the angel rolled away the stone to permit the guards to view its emptiness and to invite their entrance into the tomb. The guards saw the tomb was empty, but they did not believe. Contrast that again with the centurion. In the centurion's case, Jesus was still on the cross, and they believed. But these guards at the tomb, the earthquake, the angel, the emptiness of the tomb, they did not believe. Now, it's not that all of this didn't make a great impression on them. It did. They feared. They felt the earthquake. They saw the angel. They saw the empty tomb. They knew the tomb was empty because later on they had to fabricate some story as to how it got empty. And later on they took some hush money to cover up the fact that the tomb was empty by supernatural means. They couldn't deny the empty tomb. They had to fabricate a lie to explain it away. So here are these guards then. They saw the evidence, but they did not believe. They refused to believe. Many today refuse to believe in Jesus in spite of the evidence. You put the evidence before them, they still don't believe. And that is tragic. But some believed when they saw the evidence. Not only the centurion, but look at these women who have come to the tomb. These women who loved Jesus, these women who had accompanied him all across Judea and Galilee, they had accompanied him and they had ministered to his material needs, and out of their wealth, they had supported him and the 12. These women saw the angel. They heard his words that Jesus had risen. They saw the tomb was empty. What else could they do but believe? Look what it says then about these women. It says in verse 6, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Fear. Why? Because of the supernatural events. It was awesome to see the angel, to feel the earthquake, to look at the empty tomb. There was joy, though, because he was alive. And they believed the evidence and the words of the angel. What else would have put this joy in their hearts but the knowledge of his resurrection? You see, they believed he was alive. And they ran to tell the disciples. Why'd they run? They were so excited. They believed the word. They believed his resurrection. Else they would have nothing to run about with joy. These women believed. They had experienced an earthquake, just like the guards. They had seen some angel, like the guards, the same angel. They had seen the empty tomb. They believed. And after they believed, Jesus met them. I think that's so crucial to understand that they believed first, and then they saw Jesus. They believed because of the evidence, the earthquake, the angel, the empty tomb. And then in verse 9 it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. They saw Jesus. They believed first in his resurrection, and then they saw him. Well, these are the facts of the gospel. These are the events that make salvation possible. The Christ who died and rose is the Christ who saves. And apart from his death and resurrection, there would be no salvation. But to be saved, we not only believe the facts, we believe him. We trust him. And if you are trusting Jesus today, you are saved. And you have eternal life. And I want to say to you this morning, it's every reason for you to trust Jesus, to believe him, to give your life to him. Does it matter to you this morning that there's a God who is holy, a God who hates sin, a God whom you have offended by your sins? Does that matter to you? Does it matter to you that someday you're going to die? Does it matter to you that there's a heaven and a hell? Does it matter to you as you sit in your pews that you have a lifetime of sins behind you? And unless you do something about it, you'll meet this holy God someday. But not in a way that will be at all pleasant. But listen. Jesus came as a Savior. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He was born as a baby. He lived as a man. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again to save you from sin, to give you eternal pardon, to give you life, life after death, life forever. As Jesus rose from the dead, you will rise from the dead too. And if you believe in him, you will rise to eternal life. I'm saying to you this morning, you who are here, does it matter to you that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead? I urge you, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, if you've never cried out to him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, you died for my sins. You rose from the dead to save me. I need your salvation. I need you to give me a pardon for sin. And I believe you can do it because you died for me and you rose from the dead. I invite you this morning to put your faith in Jesus. And those of you who have, be assured today that because this Savior lives, having died and risen, you really are saved. There's nothing to worry about. There's no condemnation. There's nothing for you in the future but eternal life together with all those who know him. And that's our great certainty. That's our great hope, because we know Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he's able to save all who come to God through him. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for the great truths of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the great joy we have knowing that he who came to save us accomplished salvation, and he who died to save us rose that he might give to us that salvation for which he died. We pray for everyone here that you might grant grace by your Spirit to believe these great truths, to believe Jesus himself and to come to him. Help us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I've sought to do this morning is to set before you the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, what do you do with that evidence? Does it matter to you that this Savior came from heaven to earth to die for your sins? Does it matter to you that he rose from the dead? This evidence is there. What do you do with it? Are you like those guards who experienced the evidence but refused to believe? Or are you like those women and that centurion who beheld the evidence and believed? The evidence is there for you to know that Jesus Christ is a real Savior and He really rose from the dead. Which group are you in this morning? Are you with those who saw the evidence and refused to believe? Or are you with those who saw the evidence and have believed? It makes a difference. And let me say this morning that it makes an eternal difference for you. Your eternal destiny depends upon which group you are in. The evidence is there. Will you believe in the Savior who died for you and rose again? We're going to sing together hymn number 206. Up from the grave, He arose. 206. Before we sing, let me say this to you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Receive the Lord's benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.